This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I had a conversation with somebody once, and we were having dinner. And he was talking about the Marine Corps. You know, I used to be in the Marine Corps just 4 years. I was a very average grunt Marine. I'm no war hero or anything like that. But we were talking about the Marine Corps and what this particular gentleman's fascination was. What he wanted to know was, how does the Marine Corps turn very, very, very young men into leaders? It unbelievably young when you think about them compared to other parts of our society. For instance, I'll tell you, I remember it like it was yesterday. I used to lead patrols in Baghdad in war. I was 21 years old. I was 21, 22 years old, and I was leading night patrols in Baghdad. 10, 15, 20 men really under my charge. What? Think about what other 21, 22-year-olds are doing. It's weird. How does that happen? This will come back to America and accountability in a moment. Well, how it happens is accountability. Accountability that they drill into you. You, individually. Doesn't matter, 17, 18. They don't want to hear how old you are. They don't want any excuses. You have a fresh shave? Are you packed? Did you stay in the run? Did you fall out of the run? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you getting this done? And then very, very, very quickly, you will find yourself put in charge of others. One person, two people. And then guess who's at fault if those guys screw up? You are. You are held accountable. Kelly, this guy under your command, he didn't have enough spare socks. That's on you. Your fault. You're punished. And as it goes up, 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 that was my answer to the man. It was a one-word answer. Accountability. You are held accountable at all times, and therefore you have no other choice but to perform and to grow up. And as a result, you have these units. You have Marine Corps infantry units that are run amazingly by young, young men. Now let's talk about America, because that's really our crisis. That's why we're doing a special on this. That is the major crisis we have right now, among others, but it explains so much. We have an accountability crisis unlike anything I've ever seen in my entire life. Nobody is held accountable for anything. Our leaders aren't held accountable. They aren't held accountable by other institutions who should hold them accountable. For instance, the media doesn't hold the government accountable. When it comes to our elected officials, the voters themselves, us, you, me, I'm not talking about us specifically, but the voters, the citizens, they don't hold elected leaders accountable. And as a result, we have military leaders, government leaders, politicians who were never, none of them ever held accountable for anything at all. And it's destroying the United States of America. Look, just one last little flashback. Have you ever read a book about World War II or watched a documentary of any kind about World War II? Many things will hit you, but one of the things that always blows me away is how quickly generals and admirals, high-ranking people, were fired immediately. Fired or resigned. And oftentimes, you know how harsh I tend to be, harsh, direct, rude, you might say. Oftentimes, it seems a little harsh. Something that maybe wasn't even this general's fault, he couldn't possibly have known, he still resigns in disgrace. You know that admirals, captains, commanders, generals committed suicide in the wake of terrible things happening in World War II, so overwhelmed with guilt. I didn't perform well. That's how things used to be. Today, Donald Trump just had a bullet 2 inches away from taking his brains out of his skull. Every single thing we have found out from that point to this point has only made the security failures look worse and worse and more negligent, and more negligent, and more negligent, and this was the head of the Secret Service.
The Secret Service's solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders. On July 13th, we failed. As a director of the United States Secret Service, I take full responsibility for any security lapse of our agency.
Takes full responsibility. But then, these people were never fired. Now, she ended up resigning, but you know how this is going to work. She's not resigning in disgrace. She's not going to have to change her name and move to the mountains. No, nothing like that. She's going to resign, or she did resign, and she's going to be handed another sweetheart gig by the system somewhere. She'll be once again back in corporate America, heading up some Fortune 500 company's security, bringing in $500,000 a year, because there is no more disgrace, because there is no more shame, because there is no more accountability. Christopher Wray was asked about this whole thing. Here's what he said.
You don't plan on resigning anytime soon, do you, sir?
No, sir.
Good to go.
Ah, ha, ha, it's funny. Of course he wouldn't resign. Somebody almost just shot Donald Trump in the head. We have crimes running rampant in this country. The Federal Bureau of Investigation has been hunting down pro-lifers and angry school board moms and January 6th nonviolent political protesters in droves. At no point in American history has the FBI looked so bad. They look so bad now. We understand that local law enforcement agencies have ceased cooperating with them. And Christopher Wray resigned? Resign? Why would he resign? There's no accountability anymore. Shoot. Remember Afghanistan? This might be the worst example because it's the one that just tears my guts out. We had Bagram, we had an Air Force base in Afghanistan, a place where we could have pulled out of Afghanistan safely because it was a controlled environment. You could do it step by step safely. Instead, they just emptied Bagram, tried to leave. Of course, the country collapses almost immediately. Biden administration doesn't like the poll numbers. Military goes back in, tries to secure a freaking civilian airport. They've got these poor Marines, Army, and sailors stuck outside with no proper security, standing amongst crowds of people, and of course, a suicide bomber who we believe was released from Bagram when we opened up the gates, blows himself up and kills 13 of our warriors. Their deaths are on the heads of our generals, colonels, politicians. Nobody resigned. And then in the wake of that, of course, they needed some brownie points with the public because the public was angry. They sent a Reaper drone after 10 innocent people, completely innocent people. Six of those people were children. Wrap your mind around this. You didn't do this, so you don't have to take ownership of it. But the United States of America, our military, our generals, our politicians, we murdered 10 innocent people, six of them children. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, he was then chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, called it a what now?
We know from a variety of other means that at least one of those people that were killed was a ISIS facilitator. So were there others killed? Yes, there are others killed. Who they are, we don't know. We'll try to sort through all that. But we believe that the procedures at this point, I don't want to influence the outcome of an investigation, but at this point we think that the procedures were correctly followed and it was a righteous strike.
Righteous strike. There was no terrorists, there was no ISIS individuals, and those other people we couldn't be bothered to learn about were children who got blown up by an American Reaper drone. No resignations, no firings. When asked about it later, John Kirby said nobody was even reprimanded for it. Called it, what did he call it? A failure of process. No accountability at all. Remember Lloyd Austin, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, after the international disgrace of Afghanistan, practically laughed off the idea of resigning.
Do you have regrets about the withdrawal from Afghanistan?
I support the president's decision.
Do you have regrets about the withdrawal or how the withdrawal occurred from Afghanistan that cost the lives of 13 of our service members?
I don't have any regrets.
No regrets. 13 warriors will never celebrate Christmas with their family again. 10 innocent Afghans wiped out in response to that. Defense Secretary doesn't have a regret in the world. This is where we are as a country. Do I even need to go to COVID? Do we need to talk about guys like Dr. Fauci?
You also write that some people close to you, including your wife, suggested you should consider resigning some of the craziness. Why did you never consider doing that?
You know, John, I just felt that we had to have somebody there who was actually getting the correct information to the American public. I have felt and still do a very strong responsibility to the American public, not to any administration or any person, but to the American public. And I was afraid that despite the pressures and all the somewhat unusual things that were going on, if I did walk away from it, there would be very little opportunity to get the correct, potentially life-saving information to the American public.
Not an ounce of shame or regret. All those lives destroyed, some lives ended because of Fauci and his guidance and his advice. He's not ashamed. He's not hiding out in the mountains, changed his name, still all over the television set. Watch this little video and just know every single person you see here, not a single one of them was held accountable.
Everyone should be afraid of COVID.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
I can't come in, Mom. It's because of this flu thing.
We won't be free of this pandemic until we listen to the acknowledged truth. Listen to the scientists.
Science is truth.
You know, science is truth.
What is the impact to public health when people are openly questioning the science?
Now is the time to do what you're told.
By not hearing the truth, by not listening to the scientists, they are prolonging how bad the economy will be.
When I see somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I instantly think you are a threat.
Seek out the scientists and listen to their advice.
Listen to scientists.
Listen to the scientists.
Trust the experts.
We're going to trust science. We're going to trust the experts.
Parents who say, well, I need to do my own research, makes you think of that cartoon I saw of the tombstone that said, I did my own research.
If some jerk exposed my mother to COVID because they didn't want to wear a mask, I would want to kill them.
No accountability. We cannot go on like this. We have to become a nation of accountability again, or we can't fix it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have so much much to talk about tonight. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you suggesting you think the Biden administration, which was responsible for Trump's security, allowed this to happen?
It's not outside the realm of possibility. It's just not.
And the people who were in charge of protecting Donald Trump's life have not answered the questions. They haven't been held to account. It's pretty obvious they never will be. It does feel like there's no recourse. Like they can just murder a guy or allow his murder. And the rest of us just have to sit there and be like, yeah, that's kind of how it goes. Like, that's not the country you want to live in at all. That's not the country it was 5 years ago. What is this?
What is this is actually a really great way to put that. Where are we now? Joining me now, my friend Jack Posobiec, author of the book Unhuman, some really wonderful communist history in that book. Highly, highly recommended. Jack, well, Kim Cheadle resigns. I'm sure she's going to nance her way into some sweetheart corporate America deal, making $500,000 a year. So it's not as if she's going to have any kind of accountability at all. But what kind of country do we have now, Jack?
Well, Jesse, it's very clear. And to anyone, you know, like with a brain or who has the ability to read words on paper, that you would understand that something has gone very, very wrong and awry in our country. Let's just take the events beyond the assassination attempt and look at the fact that just 8 days later, the Democrat Party and their leaders decided that the President of the United States shouldn't be the nominee anymore. So rather than going in and asking him or going to their voters and asking them who they thought should be the new nominee, they just decided to take all of his delegates away and assign them to someone else and take all of the money away that had been given to one candidate and hand it to another one. And meanwhile, all the prosecutors and investigators who had a really big problem with Donald Trump going through his lawyer to sign a legal settlement with Stormy Daniels, and that became a massive felony, they don't seem at all interested in this massive hundreds of millions of dollars of fraud that's being perpetuated before our very eyes. We're witnessing a palace coup. This is what they did to Khrushchev. No, we're living under a new type of system, and you might as well call it an irregular communist revolution, a revolutionary regime that's taken over our government. And it's done so slowly by drips and drabs. You could say it started in the 40s. You could say it started in the 50s. People have different and debatable opinions on when exactly it started, but it's here. It's here now. People like Senator Joseph McCarthy were ringing the bell all the way back in the 1950s that this was coming. It started in the State Department. It moved on administration to administration, institution after institution, and slowly crept its way. Walt Disney warned us that they were creeping up through Hollywood, getting in through the labor unions, et cetera, et cetera. And now we're living under it. This is the system under which we live. It is cultural Marxism, a cultural Marxist neo-Bolshevik regime.
Which brings me to, you know, you mentioned the assassination attempt, Jack. We're sitting around waiting for the report on what happened. Was it a lone gunman or whatever else they're going to tell us? But the report, Jack, is going to come from the FBI, the same organization that attacked and spied on Donald Trump in his first campaign, did everything they could do to destroy his presidency from within, arrested pro-lifers, school board moms, January 6ers who were peaceful. This is the organization we're going to rely on to tell us the real skinny, the real truth on what happened in the assassination attempt. Do I have that right?
Exactly. So the people, by the way, who even FBI Director Wray, the same guy, just had to admit yesterday that his own employees were expressing publicly the opinion that they wish that the assassin hadn't missed, that these are the type of people that are going to be conducting the investigation into all of it. And yeah, we should totally trust them and totally trust their findings. By the way, the same situation where, you know, where are the press conferences? Where are the crime scene investigators that are telling us what's going on? You know, I'm from the Philadelphia area. Whenever we have one of our mass shootings, you get it. You get an update. You get an update pretty regularly. You get more updates from like local fires than we have on this thing. You know, you have the FBI guys there. He's telling you what happened. The sheriff, the local police are there. No, we're not getting any of those. We're getting conflicting stories, conflicting information. When you ask basic questions, hey, was this iron sights? Was there an EOTech? Was there a scope? And the FBI director says, we don't. What do you mean? You don't know. The gun's right there. These are basic questions of ballistics. Was the gun there, the only one that fired? There were 8 shell casings. Great. So can you confirm that there were only 8 shots fired? Couldn't give you an answer. Again, these are very basic questions that they're not asking. They're not giving us the answers to. And more importantly, the questions about the massive gaping Swiss cheese holes in the security around the president have never once been given a cursory or satisfactory answer, I think, to anyone, where you've got 5'3" women that are attempting to block bullets from a 6'3" former president and presidential candidate. Well, I'm sorry to all the girl bosses out there, but physics are physics. And if you're 5'3", you're not going to be able to do much of protection to him at all because he's a foot taller than you.
Jack, accountability or lack thereof, what's the connection there from these dirtball former commie regimes like the ones you write about? What's the link between lack of accountability and how these people run things?
Well, it's very simple. With lack of accountability, that's how you get the Bolsheviks. At one point, the Bolsheviks were pretty much just a couple of hundred guys in like one building in Moscow or in Petrograd, St. Petersburg, what it was called at the time. And the military, law enforcement, anyone could have just gone in and arrested them during the revolution and said, no, you're not, you guys actually aren't going to take over the government. You're not going to take over the country. We're going to nip this thing in the bud. But if you don't do anything, if you don't actually provide reciprocity, if you don't actually provide real accountability, and accountability does not mean, oh, we published mean tweets and we got some clips up that are getting retweeted and we're all getting donations for our campaign coffers in the election year, and oh, we're actually gonna do something. No, if these people are still in power, if Chris Ray is still in power, then you have not achieved accountability. If you've got a bunch of clips up on social media, then guess what? You haven't achieved accountability. Accountability comes when people are behind bars. This will not stop, and I'm gonna keep saying it till I'm blue in the face, and I've got, by the way, the entire media is going after J.D. Vance right now because he endorsed the book. But this is the main thing we explain. It's about actually using the power of law and order on the other side and making them feel the same thing that we have all felt for the last decade. Once you do that, and by the way, this started with Dinesh D'Souza when they were throwing him in jail for making movies about Barack Obama that the Obama administration didn't like. So don't tell me that we started the lawfare stuff. No, you guys did. And until we actually see high-level Democrats behind bars, none of this is going away.
100% true. Jack, my brother, as always, thank you. The book is on humans. Go pick it up. Highly recommend it. It's an outstanding book. Something I echo. Want to talk about accountability? I've said, you will know the country is on its way to being fixed when government people, lots of them, start going to prison. I don't mean one random Republican that they persecuted. Government people being arrested, tried, and imprisoned for what they've done. That includes FBI agents, politicians. Once that starts happening, you'll know that we're accountable again and we're on our way to fixing things. All right? We have more. Hang on.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare,
and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We must have a reckoning. And you can call it vengeance, that's fine. I'm not going to lie to you. I do want vengeance. There's no question about that. But for the good of the country, for the sake of Western society, we must have people put on trial. People must go to prison for this. They must. People have to lose their livelihoods. They have to lose everything because they took everything away from others. They must watch their colleagues lose everything over lies so they don't tell those same lies again another time. There must be a reckoning. It must happen. It must be severe and it must be public. Well, I'm not holding my breath that we're ever going to have one of those, and it's certainly not one like I want to see. I wonder if we are getting one in different ways, maybe even worse ways. Joining me now, the great Dr. Jay Bhattacharya has joined us many times, professor, Stanford School of Medicine, one of the good ones who was right about this from the very, very beginning. Dr. Jay, I know we're not going to have trials. I know no one's going to prison. I'm not naive. I get that. But what effects have we seen? Have we seen downstream effects? Is it just loss of trust in institutions? Is that really the only reckoning we're going to get?
We certainly have that, Jesse. There's no question. And I think I want to be constructive. I mean, that's just I mean, that's just the way I guess I have no other way to be. So the question is, like, what do you do with that lack of trust? And it's in a way, it's healthy that it exists because the people that we put our trust in didn't deserve that trust. You know, people like Tony Fauci. And so I think the constructive thing to do is to build on that. I mean, I still, Jesse, believe that public health is important. You know, clean water, sanitation. There are lots and lots of things that public health does I think are important. And so we have to refocus and restructure public health so that it actually serves the public. We don't want to have a few commissars basically decide our lives. They can close our schools, close our businesses, close our ability to go to church, force our children to mask with absolutely no scientific evidence. I was naive in some sense for early. I thought that we as a scientific community could come together. But now I realize what it's going to take is going to take concerted political action for that kind of reform. And it has to be part of the political the political environment where that lack of trust is permitted to have a sort of like a reality come forward, you know, in the political setting. I'm still hopeful that we can get that.
Okay, how do we get that? Because traditionally, the only way to earn trust back once it's been violated is open honesty, accountability, even punishment from time to time. Are we anticipating that? Because without that, how do we get it back?
I mean, I think for one thing is that the people who head up public health, there needs to be a new generation of leaders. I mean, there cannot be the same generation of leaders that failed. And that generation of leaders should start with a abject apology to the public because we failed the public. We absolutely failed the public. And then we can start with a constructive program of the regulatory agencies that govern public health. What was the basic fundamental problem they had? I think there's two. One is lack of transparency with the public, and then centralization of power. You have to solve both of those problems at the FDA, at the CDC, at the NIH. You have to involve the public much more so that there's that scientists and public health officials can't just imperiously rule over the public. And I think both of those things have to happen. A, you have to have a honest apology from, because we really failed the public, and then we have to then start to say what was really fun, the reason why is because you had people in power like Tony Fauci for 40 years with way too much power over the what the scientific community thought, public health with far too much power with no checks and balances. It's I think the idea of America, which is, you know, checks and balances, the rule of law. No one is king. If we put back the idea of America into public health, that's how we gain trust back.
Let's talk about social distancing and how these lies turn into rules. This video is always bothering me. Here it is.
The initial recommendation that the CDC brought to the White House, and I talk about this, was 10 feet. And a political appointee in the White House said, we can't recommend 10 feet. Nobody can measure 10 feet. It's inoperable. Society will shut down. So the compromise was around 6.
It's wild watching how these people discuss these things now as if they're kind of unimportant, just little guidelines. They all do this. Fauci does it. They all do it as if it's, well, we had to decide and we couldn't decide here and it really wasn't a big deal. But these things destroyed lives. These things altered lives, probably ended lives if we're being honest about it. And yet all the people who did these things are just so flippant about it now. It drives me up the wall.
It does me too. I mean, it drives me crazy. I mean, to think about this, because there was no science behind the distance, none, right? If this is a virus that spreads by aerosols, Jesse, you could be in 5 million feet from me if you just happen to be in the same, you breathe in the same room, and then a week later, come in that same room, I could get the virus from you, right? So the 6 foot distancing made absolutely no sense. There was no science behind it. And yet, and you're absolutely right, what it did is it crushed our society. Schools could not open with desks 6 feet apart, because how many kids can you fit in a room with if you have all of them, say, 6 feet apart? We essentially told, we meaning public health, told the world that we should treat our neighbor as biohazards, fundamentally violating our ethical principles that we have to treat each other as human beings, to that we care and love for each other. I love our neighbor as ourselves, right? No, but instead you treat your neighbor as a biohazard. That's what that 6 feet meant. And again, there was no science behind it. It's powerful, the kinds of things, tools that public health has at its disposal, Jesse, right? It can hijack our basic human empathy and turn us against each other. And so it absolutely needs checks and balances at its center. It's one of these things where, like, I do still believe in the necessity of public health. As I said, sanitation, a whole bunch of things that public health does that keeps us healthier. But it should be consistent with our values, our fundamental values of liberty, our fundamental values of good governance that doesn't impose on us. The public health should never have ruled on us. It should always be a servant of the people. And it was the opposite during the pandemic.
Doctor, you say this was not based on science, but how does something that's not based on science become so accepted in the highest levels of science? And then after that, they become public policy, meaning what's the genesis of all this? Where did all this begin? Is it some dirty human being who wants to destroy society just comes up with a number and decides to pass it along? That doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand how crazy concepts not based in science become the rule for a country of 330 million people. Can you explain that process to me?
Yeah, I mean, I'll try, Jesse. I wish I had a full answer, because I don't have a full answer, but I'll tell you what I think. I don't think it's a single one person, you know, Dr. Evil or whatever. I think what happens is that you have an event. You have a catastrophic event. Like, you have a virus that is spreading around, very likely as a result of dangerous scientific experiments, right? Let me do an analogy, right? So I was a medical student once. I was a third year medical student once. That's the year when you first start to see patients. And as a third year medical student, you often don't know a lot. And you have a patient in front of you who are asking you important questions about their health. And as a third year medical student, you have to resist the urge to lie about what you know in order to make the patient happy, right? Because you want to be honest with the patient. You have to learn to say, okay, I don't know, to the patient, and I'll go try to find out. I'll try to figure out what the right answer is. I'll go ask other people who know more. But a lot of third year medical students have difficulty with that. They pretend knowledge they don't have. That's what happened during this pandemic with some of the very highest people in public health. They had no idea about the harms. That in a sense, you saw Francis Collins, the head of the NIH, give a talk where he says, look, I just cared about COVID. I wasn't thinking about all the harms to the children, to the poor people, to the working class from these things, because it wasn't my job, right? And that means that that person should not have been in charge of those decisions. We need people there who understand how societies actually work, like to care about the poorest people in the society, to care about our children. And the way that you'd get that is by radical decentralization and radical sort of democratization, if you will, of public health. It's too imperious, and it's not consistent with American values. I think the idea of America, which is this idea of we are all essentially rulers of this country. We are all the checks and balances. The government has a limited set of powers. I think that idea would make public health better. And I think the problem is that public health thinks of itself essentially, or has thought of itself essentially, as rulers, as kings. And if anyone inside the scientific community that pushes back, you get destroyed. I can tell you from firsthand experience. And the other thing I'd say is that once you have this fear, all these other entities start piling on. You get like pharmaceutical companies like taking advantage. You get like all these other people with like their own agendas taking advantage of it. I think it's that mix of like people pretending knowledge they didn't have, creating panic, and then a whole bunch of like opportunistic nonsense happening.
What is that, doctor? You're a doctor. I'm not. Just as we wrap this up here, are doctors more inclined towards arrogance? Not that I'm blasting away at doctors, but you are more educated than most people. You know a lot of things that a lot of people know. Or is it an arrogance thing? Is that what it is?
It's a kind of God complex. It is. It's arrogance is the right word for it, right? And I think it's public health that during the pandemic kind of had this. They thought that they could control the minutest actions of society, and no one can. No one has that knowledge. No one has that right. And I think we need changes in our public health structures, laws. Everyone should ask the guy running for dog catcher, would they ever lock down again? From the top to the bottom of our political structures, the folks we elect should know that we won't stand for it. And we won't elect them if they are going to violate our rights in that way. And they should be asked that every single time in every single election. Until finally that we have laws in place that prevent it from happening again. I think that it's going to take concerted political action. I thought naively early on that it would just be scientists could fix this, but I don't anymore, Jesse. And I think it's going to take a real political action to fix it.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dr. J. Doctor, you are the best, my brother. Come back soon, please. All right. Well, it's not just the medical community that lacks accountability. The military is in bad shape when it comes to this. We're going to talk about that next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's your response to reports of Americans?
Hold on. Slow down, everybody. I want to talk about two things. First, Afghanistan.
Wow. That every time I watch videos of generals Biden, Kamala Harris after Afghanistan, it just makes my blood pressure go through the roof. They were all so just kind of flippant and uncaring about the whole freaking thing. Joining me now, Brad Miller, retired Colonel U.S. Army, Kate Monroe, retired United States Marine Corps. That's what I'm talking about. Semper Fi. All right, Brad, let's begin with you. It wasn't funny. It was aggravating beyond belief to watch them put our people in harm's way, watch our young men and women die, and then watch what we did in response to that. And what blew me away was not necessarily the dirtball politicians, but the generals. Where are the resignations? Where are the people resigning in disgrace? Where are they?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the key word here is accountability, and that there has been none. So I think you raise a great question, is that how can Americans, whether they are service members, whether they are veterans, whether they're the family of service members or veterans, or whether just Americans in general, how can Americans look at our generals and our admirals and actually think that these individuals are making the best decisions for our military and for our national interests?
Apparently, I don't know what happens once you get a star put on your shoulders anymore. Kate, you know what I remember? I talked about this at the beginning of the show. As a very young, very average Marine, accountability was everything for us. If you didn't have enough socks in your pack, you were held accountable for it. If one of your guys didn't have his toothbrush in order, you were held accountable for it. That's what it's like for the men and women on the ground. But apparently, once you get promoted above 06, that just goes away now?
Yeah, I mean, apparently you can be in American politics and be all the way up in the White House and have no accountability. It's not just Afghanistan. Look at the border. Look at homelessness. Look what has happened to veterans on account of all these migrants. Look at the assassination. No one wants to take any accountability, period. And it's an epidemic that we have in our leadership here in our country.
No doubt. I remember when John Kirby, Brad, remember when John Kirby got up, he said this after we drone strike 6 children?
What I can tell you is we looked at this thing very, very comprehensively. And again, we acknowledge that there were procedural breakdowns. Processes were not executed the way they should have been. But it doesn't necessarily indicate that that an individual or individuals have to be held to account for that. But look,
is there discipline inside the Pentagon at all? I mean, maybe there are no charges brought up, but is anyone demoted or disciplined for what happened that day?
There's not going to be individual discipline as a result of this, Willie. But what we are going to do is learn from this, and we're going to enact and improve our procedures and our processes to try to make sure this doesn't happen again.
We're going to learn from this, like a child eating paste in preschool. What does that mean exactly, Brad? A failure of process, but nobody's getting fired or reprimanded. Who is process? Can we meet him?
So here's what that means. That is a euphemism for we are going to do nothing, but we are going to tell you that we are going to do something to improve our processes. I mean, this is just extremely wishy-washy language. As he said, there will be no personal discipline. And here's the thing. Accountability can look a lot of different ways depending on the offense that has been committed. So, of course, there can be charges that are filed. But there are other ways in which discipline can be achieved that don't necessarily result in criminal charges. The problem is when, you know, nothing is done. So I think at the outset you mentioned that I was a retired colonel. I actually resigned as a lieutenant colonel. But I spent 19 years in the Army. And before that, you know, 4 years at West Point. And just like you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, accountability was everything. I mean, that was something that I learned very early on in my first days as a cadet at West Point. But somewhere along the way, as an institution, we have completely abandoned the necessity or the practice of accountability.
I can't believe they ruined West Point, too. What a freaking revered place. What was it like at West Point? Was it cool? I could never have gotten in or been an officer at all because I'm not smart enough. But was it cool being there?
I'll tell you this, and I don't know how I got in. There's probably some other Brad Miller out there, and they accidentally, you know, sent me the acceptance letter that was meant for him. But I will tell you this. So I was in my junior year at West Point when 9/11 occurred. And so as great as an institution, as the institution was before 9/11, that place changed instantly from one day to the next at 9/11, because even though it was a revered institution, don't get me wrong, but on 9/11, everything that we were doing became so much more real, right? And everyone knew. I mean, by 9/12, we all knew that we were going to graduate and we were all going to go to war. And of course that happened. You know, I graduated in 2003, all my classmates, myself. I mean, we all went to war. It was just what was going to happen at that time period. And so what happens now when we look back 20 years later and we look at where our military has been over the last two decades, and we just have to ask ourselves, what has happened to our institution? And why are the individuals who are at the top of the institution allowing it to just go down the drain, or perhaps driving it down the drain deliberately?
Yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday, watching that in the barracks room. And it did. It became real in that moment. Kate, we have a recruiting problem, a huge recruiting problem. And if you break it down demographically, it's white rural males who are not joining anymore. The other recruiting number is actually fairly stable, but that's been a huge chunk of the American military. And they're checking out, Kate. And once again, there's no accountability for this. Nobody's owning up to it. And I talk to these officers. I get all kinds of private info from guys who are in. They're not even discussing the real reasons why people aren't joining. It's not even on the table for discussion.
Well, there's so many reasons. I have actually written many op-eds about it. I talked to Admiral Lex Walker in charge of, you know, naval recruiting. There's many reasons, but lack of patriotism being one of them. There is also a high level of assault in my generation. You know, I was assaulted when I was in the Marine Corps. And then a lot of those things were never taken care of by the VA. So you have a whole generation of parents telling their kids, hey, you're not safe in the military. You also just have a bunch of DEI and wokeism and liberalism that has crept into these institutions, and these kids don't want to serve. And it's interesting to note that the Marine Corps is not having a recruiting crisis. Have they slipped a little bit of their esprit de corps? Certainly they have, but they have maintained most of it. And you will see kids that normally would go into the Air Force, into the Army, into the Navy, going into the Marine Corps, because that is what they're looking for, to be in the real military. That's why I think the Marines are leading the charge on recruiting. But we're sort of at an event horizon here. If we don't turn back and fix this, it's a very scary situation.
Oh, it really is. Brad, Kate, both of you, appreciate you very much. Thank you, guys. All right, we're not done. We still have a little bit more. Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year? I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to get back to being a country that's accountable. We, the voters, have to be better about holding our politicians accountable. The politicians we elect have to be better about holding bureaucrats accountable. We have to get back to being a country where you own your mistakes, admit your mistakes, even take punishment for your mistakes. Otherwise, we become a nation that is just built on lies. That's why they lie about everything now, and we can't go on like this at all. Let's dig in and get back to where we should be. We'll do it again.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.